Now, in studio, two local servant leaders, business owners, and family men committed to empowering San Diego to rise up. Your hosts, Jared Kelly and James Carmody.
Welcome to Rise Up Radio. It's Friday. I think I saw the sun a little bit today. I'm Jared Kelly, and I'm excited. We have a show that is filled with one of my favorite things, sports, Christianity, comic books, and just some good dudes in San Diego. So we're excited to dig into that. And this is an amazing city. This is, in fact, America's finest city, but it's our job to maintain it. We live here. This is our community. If you're not a part of this community, I would ask you to look in the mirror and say, what are you doing? What are you doing to be part of this community? Because you're using it. I would guess you've been to a beach a time or two. I would guess that you've used some public parks. Maybe even went to the beautiful Balboa Park. What are you doing to maintain America's finest city? All right, let's dig into sports. We have two amazing guests with FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Charles Thompson and Colin Sinclair. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. You guys are the athletes. We've been rapping off air. You guys are killing me with all your sports stuff. What's going on with this playoff series? The NBA is actually something to watch.
It is. Yeah. History could be made tonight. The Golden State Warriors going for a 16-0 playoff run. Unprecedented, never been done in the history of the game. And, you know, there's some optimistic Cavs fans out there saying Cavs in seven, but I'm going to take the Warriors in four tonight.
Warriors in four, he's calling it, folks. And I assume that in about an hour you're going to be watching that the second half of that game because you're consumed with Rise Up Radio right now. And this is the amazing things and inspiration that you're hearing. So if you're stuck in traffic, don't turn on the game. You got it on TiVo. Don't worry about that. You'll be able to fast forward through the commercials and see the history making. Man, game three was incredible. They came back.
It was awesome. Yeah, and just FCA alone, Steph Curry from the Warriors. Has been involved, and so it's hard not to root for a guy like Steph and watch history.
What do you think, Charles?
I love KD.
I know
some people are a little bit upset with KD moving, but he's clutch.
I read an article, and no one can blame him for doing that, but the article is titled, Kevin Durant, you just made basketball boring. Like, they have the two best defenders and the two best offenders in the NBA. Offenders.
It's true, though. If anyone's watched the series has been exhilarating. And it's been fun to watch. So if I was KD, or if you had opportunity to be better and win, why wouldn't you? And LeBron just did an interview last night. Said no one blamed the Yankees in the 90s for getting the best players, or, you know, Deion Sanders for going to the Cowboys. Everyone wants to win, and I can't blame Kevin Durant.
Throwing some prime time out there. Man, I love sports. Yeah. And I think that when I look at my life growing up, and even today, sports is one of those things that creates camaraderie. Sports is one of those things that feathers and promotes competition, whether that's good or bad. How did you guys get into sports? And Colin specifically, and how have sports taken to you to where you are today?
Jared, I was born during game five of the World Series, 1982, between the Brewers and the Cardinals. My dad is a huge Brewers fan, so he had one eye on the game and one eye on me being born. So my sports journey starts very young, and as early as I can remember, I played sports, baseball and soccer, basketball, football, and it's really shaped who I am and been a huge part of my story. The coaches that have impacted my life, the buddies, the relationships established with my friends, and I've traveled to every baseball stadium in the United States.
Hit them all.
Hit them all in Canada. And so sports is just in my DNA, and it's been a huge part of my life.
Are you one of those guys? So I had a college roommate that if you grew up in the '80s, you collected baseball cards. Like you had to do that. Maybe you got some football and some basketball. Okay. But you had some baseball cards. I'm like pulling out this box of this house I'm living in, and I pull out a card, and this guy knows every stat on every, I'm like, this guy played in the league for 1 year and it was a washout. How do you know his stats? Are you that guy?
I'm that guy, buddy. I just am. I have those baseball cards in the collecting dust, but yeah, I'm the guy that could tell you that, you know, RQC and Franco played third base for the Padres and Delano. So I'm that guy, man. I just am. Yeah.
He batted a 292.
Yeah, exactly. That's where my mind is filled with. So
Charles, how about you?
So I'm born and raised in San Diego, but I actually was born in Southeast San Diego. So football was huge for me. All the older guys in my family were in gangs and doing drugs and born out of wedlock. And I, as an 8-year-old, I told myself I can't be involved in gangs or do drugs because I'm going to be in the NFL. And as an 8-year-old, I had no real, you know, idea of how that could work or if that even, if it's, is that if that is even feasible, but that kept me out of a lot of bad decisions in my life. And growing up, I just had coaches who were just like, "Don't be an idiot. Don't do dumb things." And they kind of kept me on the right path. And football afforded me the opportunity to go to college. I was a first generation college graduate, and I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't even pursuing it like some kids I know today. But it literally, just by going to college, changed the trajectory of my life, my family. And so football's always been one of those things that has created opportunities for me that I didn't know that even existed.
So would you say that you made it to the NFL? And I'm going to rebrand the NFL right now. And I just thought of this, so sorry if it's corny. A newfound life.
Yes.
Right? Like, you did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You broke a chain. You are officially inducted into my NFL Hall of Fame.
I feel so corny saying yes, but you are right. I have that newfound life.
Right. And I think that sports does that. Sports gives us the opportunity to express ourselves differently, to find out who we are as people. And so let's dig into that with you guys as well. You guys have made a commitment to not only sports, but living a life that looks a little bit different than the average person. Colin, what does that look like for you?
I think, there's two of the most important words you'll hear is coach says. So as I think about sport and how it's impacted my life throughout my playing career, coach said, go to class. Coach said, treat a girl right. Coach said, go to church. It's become part of my DNA. And so for me, it's a calling and a passion all wrapped up in one that sports have allowed me a voice. It's allowed me a platform. I went to Romania on a mission trip in college with my football team. And just by throwing a soccer ball out there or a football out there, kids wanted to come and hear what we had to say. And so it's created an incredible, my life's journey have been centered on sports and the platform it's given me to share my faith. And also to improve and build me as a man, as a husband, as a father, and as just a citizen in the community.
So Charles, you mentioned San Diego native. You're one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the easiest start to life. What are the things that you embrace now? What do you say this newfound life? Sorry, you're tagged. You're officially in the NFL. What would you say is important to you now, and has that changed, or do you see a legacy that you're living that looks different today than it did before sports, before that newfound life?
Yeah, that was a great question. So, before I had that newfound life.
Yes,
that newfound life. I love it. Sports was everything, and the hard thing with playing sports and, you know, kids are playing 20, 40 hours a week of sports. And the hard thing is, like, when you hit that injury or when something bad happens, your whole life is shattered and you have no foundation. And so for me, in that newfound life, my foundation is God. My identity is in God rather than that sport. So now I have the ability to, not put all my stock in things in this world, but in God. So as a legacy changer, I grew up in a family where it was single mom raising us, and that was a generational thing. And now I have my 10-month-old son, Levi, that, you know, God willing, I can be in his life and raise him up and teach him what it means to be a man, until he's ready to leave the house. And I can also, when I bring kids over, I can actually show them what does it mean to be a dad? What does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to be a husband?
You're choosing, just in that statement, you're choosing to rise up, because I know a lot of people who would say, what do you mean by bring kids over? Don't I have a fence around my house for a reason? Don't I have that iron gate with a passcode to get in? And I think what you're saying is, I've experienced something great. And if you've been on a sports team, you've experienced coach, as Colin described it, you experienced teammates. And it's something that you have to embrace for the rest of your life. And when you see yourself as a coach, I'm just going to ask you this question right now. If you're sitting there, if you're driving your car, think who you're being a coach to. Think who you're reaching out, because you have that leadership and you have that position to say, I'm going to bring kids over. I'm going to make them a part of my life. I'm going to choose to be coach. Colin, you guys are part of an amazing organization, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. What is the influence of coaches and athletes in our culture?
Yeah, the term coach comes from the 18th century stagecoach. It was taking somebody of importance from one place to the next. And so as you think about that definition, the influence that a coach has in our culture is critical, maybe outside of mom and dad. Next in line is the coach. And so with FCA, we capitalize on that influence that a coach has to teach these their athletes about life. And they may spend 2 to 3 hours on Friday night for the game, and they'll spend tons of hours preparing for that game. So we like to teach coaches and say, hey, how many hours are you spending teaching them how to coach life, how to teach these character qualities and these skills? And with FCA, we help kind of coach the coach, if you will, to use their influence.
We're going to take a short break. We come back, we're going to dig into those stories. We're going to dig into some of the stories of how FCA is not only coaching coaches, but is changing lives here in San Diego. Stay tuned. This is Rise Up Radio, SDRiseUp.com.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending. 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego's expensive. San Diego's a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question, why? I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to SDRiseUp.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to SDRiseUp.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer.
We are grooving, having some fun. This is Rise Up Radio, SDRiseUp.com. I'm your host, Jared Kelly, and we're having a conversation around the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the influence of coaches and athletes in our culture. We have some great leaders, Charles Thompson and Colin Sinclair, that represent the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. But we want to dig into some of those stories. Let's talk about how you guys have been able to walk alongside coaches, walk alongside students, and make a difference. And just like Charles, have that newfound life.
Yeah. As I mentioned before, coaches have influence. And just I think about John Goodman, and he's now the head football coach at Classical Academy in Escondido. And he was at Valley Center and had won a lot of championships, walked off the field at Qualcomm after winning a championship, and just had that sense that this wasn't all there was. There's something missing. And with FCA, we have a national marriage retreat in Asheville, North Carolina. Took John and his wife, Joanne, out there with my wife and I, and God was doing a major work in his life. He came back, left Valley Center, took on this new role at Classical, and built in what we call a three-dimensional coach. So he now is coaching not just the physical, the X's and O's, but also the mental and the spiritual levels of his program, and started building into his program the second and third dimension coaching. And so, for an example, Wednesday after practice, he would gather all of his players together, and he would have one player stand up and have the rest of the team compliment this player on things that were not on the field, so not performance-based. And this kid would just light up and go home and tell his parents, hey, guess what happened today? Guess what kids said about me? And so he's speaking life, speaking greatness into these kids. And you're watching players right before your eyes be transformed by a coach that's speaking greatness and life into their.
Charles, you also get to experience this. Any stories that stand out to you and what your work with FCA has been able to catapult or put a coach or an athlete in a position to just thrive?
Yeah. Yeah, one story comes to mind is I don't always recommend this, but I coach high school football and at Christian High School, and there's a student that I've had the policy of if he wants to get better at his sport, I'll take the extra time to work out with him. And so I'm hanging out with him for a period of 3 months where it's working out or having lunch with him or having him over, and I'm doing that so much where his mom begins to text me and say, hey, like, what's going on? I don't know you, and you're hanging out with my son a lot. He doesn't have his dad's not in the picture. And for his mom, she just wanted to meet me and thank me that I'm having that kind of impact on her son because his dad's not around and he's kind of struggling for a male influence. And she wanted to thank me that I didn't have any real reason to pour into him, except for I wanted to reflect God and I wanted to influence him. And she just thanked me. And she just said, hey, like, I appreciate you as a godly man who is pouring into my son when you don't have to. And for her, she's like, this is changing him around his friends. And I'm seeing that changing him around the household. And so, like, in my mind, I'm like, that's what happened to me. I had a coach or an older guy who just basically said, hey, I want to, for whatever reason, I just want to pick you to hang out with. And I want to just be there and I want to be present, because most of the people who have influenced me they were just there. And for this student, I'm just there. So when life happens, I'm a person that he can confide in and trust.
So as we're doing life, I think the question should come up. Are we being present? Are we just there for people? What's the agenda that we're coming to the table with? Is that appropriate? And I think that you guys are really in the place where you can empower so many people and give so many people hope and say, hey, you know what? The NFL is an opportunity. Maybe there's some great athletes that there have been some that come out of San Diego, and all over the U.S. You guys are a national organization, international organization that has impacted so many lives. So not only do you get to be that coach and that mentor, but you get to share unique good news.
Yeah. I'd say, there's a guy on the Chargers. I know that it's the LA Chargers now, but Daryl Stuckey, who in high school was invited by a coach to go to an FCA leadership camp where he rededicated his life, single parent home, broken home. And when he got drafted, he mentioned FCA because he started that FCA club at University of Kansas where he played football. And he came out and for the last 7 years on the Chargers has used his influence through FCA to impact his community. And even doing a football clinic for youth from kids 5 to 17. And he was asked, the kids asked him, what's the most important thing in your life? And he talked about his faith and about reading the Bible. And so we gave all these kids a Bible. This kid, 8 years old, gets in the car and his mom is driving and looks in the mirror and sees her son and he's got the Bible open. And she said, hey, what are you doing? He said, well, Mr. Darrell said that he reads the Bible every day. And so I'm going to read the Bible every day. And that's influence. And everyone that's listening has people in their life they can think of right now that they have influence, that they can encourage them to read the Bible or to grow in their faith and just do good.
So let's dig into FCA. Obviously does have some history. How did it start? What do the founding people see as the vision and the mission of FCA?
Don McLennan is the founder of FCA in the 50s, and he noticed two things were happening. One, athletes were being quoted for giving credit to God, and it was being printed in the newspaper. So he cut out those newspaper clippings. Secondly, he noticed that companies were paying athletes to endorse their product. Coca-Cola, razor blades, baseball cards were being put in cigarette packs. And so he said there's got to be a way to use this influence better. And so God gave him a vision to start an organization called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where it started with a camp in Estes Park, Colorado in 1956. And 238 high school boys came and had a daily Bible study with a collegiate or professional athlete and an evening program where they got taught not only how to become a better athlete, but also where these professional athletes got their training from, which was from God's word. And so for the last 60 plus years, we've operated on the same way our founder started FCA.
And what is there a mission statement or a vision that you guys maybe personally are choosing to be part of this organization? Because it's a nonprofit. I'm sure there's some pros and cons to that, but you have a personal attachment, and then maybe does that tie into your life and the other things that you are having to do because you're inviting kids into your house. You're spending some extra time and making some sacrifices to do that.
Yeah, I think, I became a Christian through coaches and teachers. And literally, like, when I say that the legacy, the cycle changed in my life, it was from, you know, me being a dad at 25 years old and me choosing to be married at 23 and me going to college. And there's a bunch of dominoes that happened by just one coach, one teacher's picking me out. And it changed my entire life. So FCA is the only thing that I see right now that gives me the vehicle to do this on a very consistent level. Now there's other things like teachers and everyone's an influencer. That's just a reality. Like, but I get to do this from my 9 to 5, and you know, even extend that after, you know, 5 o'clock when at dinner time. So like there's. When I looked at like, hey, like an ideal world with no bills, like what would I do for free? Like I'll go hang out with kids and tell them about God and tell them about how he's more satisfying than the things that they're pursuing. And that's what a coach and teacher did for me.
I think you're in the right seat. I think you're doing what you're called to do.
Yeah. And our vision statement is to see the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. And as I mentioned, I am the product of a coach, Mike Swider at Wheaton College, who radically changed the course of my life. And so I'll spend the rest of my life saying thank you and using that influence that coach had in my life to work with FCA, where I can use this platform of athletics to give people opportunity to have their lives changed.
And I know you guys have the mindset of encouraging people to get in the game and do kingdom work. If people want to get involved, if people want to help support FCA, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, if you're obviously a coach or on any campus, the best way is you can go to our website, sandiegofca.org. You can contact go there and find our contact info. And we're looking to build a team. So coaches, athletes, volunteers, parents, businessmen, the whole team that we're building. So the best way to go to our website, sandiegofca.org, you'll find our contact info, and we'd love to get you involved in our programs.
Guys, it's been an amazing conversation. We've redefined the NFL. We've talked a little bit about sports. Colin has been discovered as the walking encyclopedia. If you need to know anything about sports, or if you want to be a part of this community, go to our website, sdriseup.com. There's a contact page on there. Fill that out. If you know someone in the community that's rising up, if you yourself are rising up, we want you to join this community. If you know someone like Colin, like Charles, or if you yourself are like that, I just want to encourage you and say there are good days and there are bad days, but you're doing the work that you're supposed to do. I'm sure, Charles, sometimes you sit down and say, man, that was exhausting. But I also see that smile on your face saying, I am doing what I'm called and built to do. If you're not in that lane, I encourage you to get into it. Guys, leave us with a couple last thoughts.
Yeah, I would just say, as you're listening to this program and you're thinking about either a coach that's had an impact on your life, hopefully positive, think about the greatest investment that you can make is to pour into somebody younger than yourself. So right now, think about somebody that you can give a call to let them know how they've impacted your life, and think of somebody younger than you that you can reach out to grab a cup of coffee, grab a meal, and let them know and help them in their journey of life.
And I would say, if you call San Diego your home, think about one or two things that you can be doing to build up San Diego. This is our city, and we both, all of us, have a stake in what goes on here.
Love it. Love the mantra. This is Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to dig into someone that is also impacting youth in a very unique and different way by telling the stories of the Bible through a graphic novel. Recently, the best-selling book, and we'll dig into more of that story, but I cannot express how amazing that this tool has become to teach young kids through graphic novels the story of the Bible. Stay tuned. This is Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Jared Kelly here, founder of Mission Realty Group. As you have heard me say thousands of times, we must be part of the community that we live in. I've had the privilege of using our company to do just that. It is our goal to not only help people make informed and excellent decisions when buying and selling a home, but to really understand your goals and needs. Yes, for some people, their house is just a roof to live under, but for others, it is a home where you are raising a family, entertaining friends, and a place to get away from the hustle of life. Let me ask you this. Is your home right for your family? When is the last time you even thought about this? Let us use our exclusive process to help you understand where the market is going. And if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, let's have a conversation today. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and we would love to connect with you and make a plan. Again, that's missionrealtygroup.com. That's missionrealtygroup.com. Hit the contact tab, and let's make a plan so you can win.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. This is Rise Up Radio, bringing it back with a beat. Todd, thanks for bringing it back. Like, man,
gotta keep it real.
Keeping it real in the studio, bringing it home. Just got done talking and having an amazing conversation with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and how youth is impacted through coaches. And we're gonna spin that a little bit. And we're gonna have a conversation around youth and around how the stories of the Bible can come alive and look differently than some just words on a page. So I know that's part of your story, Mario D'Amato. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And let's dig into how did you end up writing a graphic novel?
So Man, it's a long story, but I'll try to keep it as concise as possible.
We got 12 minutes.
12 minutes. So 5 years ago, I was in school getting a master's degree in literature and writing, and I became fascinated with comic books. And I have always loved comic books, but I was just becoming really, really obsessed with the power of storytelling and how a comic book can really be a really amazing tool for a kid to not just get inspired to read and to learn about a story, but it really brings stories to life. And I had this kind of godly moment where I knew I wanted to get involved with comic books, and I didn't know exactly where my entry point would be. And I was reading a book by N.T. Wright about Paul the Apostle, and he kind of showed how radical Paul the Apostle was in a new way for me. And I just saw this comic book start unfolding in my mind about Paul the Apostle, but set in like a Star Wars world with creatures and aliens, and not make it like the traditional Christian storybook, but something really unique and contemporary for kids that would maybe be like a new way to inspire kids to read the Bible. That was kind of the first vision. And then we went forward and put a team together, and I worked with professionals to make this like as really as good and awesome as possible.
So you mentioned 5 years ago, going back to school. What inspired that? And not all of us are great readers, great storytellers. You're a storyteller, a poet, an urban farmer, a follower of Jesus, and obviously you're the co-creator and publisher of award-winning educational Christian book, Paul the Apostle. That's a lot. And did this journey just start 5 years ago? How do you end up in a position to say, you know what, it is my calling to write a graphic novel about the Apostle Paul, who didn't start out as Paul?
Definitely. So, I mean, this journey started a long, probably 12 years ago. If we want to just jump right into my story.
Sure.
So about 12 years ago, I was going to Point Loma Nazarene. I was on the soccer team. I thought I had my whole life figured out. And on a trip to Costa Rica during summer break, I made a kind of a bad decision and dove into a shallow swimming pool and broke my neck. And I ended up in a wheelchair, and I'm a quadriplegic. And that moment completely transformed my life in a massive, obviously a massive way. But during that time, God was there with me. I was luckily a Christian before I got hurt, and I had a massive support system in the hospital, and God was just constantly in there the whole entire time, wrapped his arms around me. And I felt like this is just going to be a new life for me. It's not going to be the end of my life, but just something completely new that I hadn't ever saw. Sometimes we try to project like our futures and what we think we're going to be when we grow up. And I think everything changed at that moment, but I knew that it wasn't going to be like a bad change, and it was probably going to be a really exciting change, even though there was like sadness and depression. I just had this awesome support system, and God was always there. So fast forward, maybe 7 years, I had gone through a couple different, ideas of what I was going to do with my life. I ran a graphic design company. I was an art director for about 5 years, and that kind of led me in, I think, in the direction of going back to school to become a storyteller. That was my real passion. And so I finished my BA, and then kept going, got my master's in literature and writing, and started getting involved with poetry and writing short stories and comic books. And that kind of all came together with Paul the Apostle.
So, and I think that's the story of Paul the Apostle too. It all just kind of comes together.
Oh, definitely.
And even his road, like, on Paul's journey, on Saul's journey to Paul, right? So to put this straight forward, I mean, most people don't, when they say I'm setting goals in life, you get sick, something's happened, a lot of things are able to be overcome. You're not in a wheelchair. That's a real part of your life. I'm sure that going from a soccer player, having that experience to say, hey, my life looks completely different. I just want to encourage, if you're listening to this right now, that Mario is one of the most inspirational people that I know.
Oh, thank you.
And it's because of who he is as a person. And I think we get caught up sometimes in our identity as what the world makes us or what the world sees us as. And I frankly have to, when I look at you, Mario, it just, and when I hear you speak, when I hear you tell stories, there is a piece, just like in everyone, a piece of Jesus that just comes out, right? All part of the body is needed. And I appreciate that through that pain and through that journey, I think you found who you're supposed to be.
I definitely feel like I'm on a road where I can see my calling in a lot of ways. And before I got hurt, I think I didn't have a calling for sure. I thought I was headed toward trying to become some successful businessman or in sales. And that was kind of my limited vision of what I would be in my life. And this, now I'm seeing that I can actually use these talents and these God-given talents that I never knew, or I knew I had, but I didn't know how I would ever use my love for storytelling. I always have loved storytelling, but now I can see how I can actually be an impact for the kingdom with these skills. And that was something when I first got hurt, I was like, man, how am I ever, like, what am I going to do with my life? There was just this like kind of confusion of how someone in a wheelchair could be an impact. And God pretty much cleared that up pretty quick.
You're still made in my image. You're still my son. I mean, I'm just picturing through pain that I've went through in my own life to bring it home of everyone's went through something.
Definitely.
And this life is temporary anyways. So I'm going to call it what, I mean, you have a daily reminder that you have to rely on God. I mean, what an amazing opportunity that you have embraced. And if you see Mario in the parking lot, I'm just going to describe the spaceship that he gets out of. Cause I love this like converted van, and it's a special place and a special thing to even see and to be inspired to say, you know what, this dude's doing more than most people could do with a full bodied experience, to say, my identity is not that. My identity is in storytelling. My identity is in these other pieces. And I don't want to dwell on that any longer, but I just want to say, I appreciate where you've been and where you've come to. And the story that you're able to tell by letting others embrace your story.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's honestly, it's all glory to God. That's the key. Like, keep shining that, like his mission, with all humanity. I love, my wheels have allowed me to minister to people where I definitely would never have even thought of it before. And I'm not an evangelist in any way, shape or form. I will in like the shadows. I would say I'm an evangelist. The book is my evangelical tool, but I'm not naturally someone that's going to be up on the pulpit speaking, but God's been pushing me toward that in a way. And especially the wheels, just naturally people are constantly coming up to me and asking me questions about how I got hurt and how I have a smile on my face, and they're pretty obnoxious questions sometimes.
But yeah, I know I did that to you. Obnoxious questions.
No, I'm like I said, I have a pretty thick skin. And
so let's dig into Paul the Apostle as a graphic novel. What is a graphic novel?
A graphic novel is just a really fancy term for a long comic book. So the book is in the comic book format. A graphic novel just means it's usually like over 140 pages, a single story. So it's the entire life story of Paul from the book of Acts.
Absolutely amazing. So book of Acts, transformed into pictures like a comic book, but it's biblically based.
Super biblically accurate. That was one of the main things that I wanted to make sure that was our mission, is to make this a ministry tool. So kids will read this book with their parents, with their pastors, in a Bible study. And at the end of the road of this book, they're going to have a pretty solid understanding of Paul's life in the book of Acts and in the letters.
I've talked to a couple adults that have read this book. I haven't gotten all the way through it. I have a 2-year-old, so we're flipping through, looking at pictures, and he's embracing just the visual aspect of it, which I think is the first step of learning to read and doing things.
Definitely.
In that space. What amazing tool that adults are even grasping to say, you know what, this is the first time that Paul's really become alive to me. This is the first time that I've experienced this story in a way that actually makes sense.
Yeah, I've experienced that too. And we never in any way, shape or form wanted to replace the Bible. It's all about sending people back to the Bible. So on every page, there's Bible references. One thing we've heard a lot from is kids will read the book in one night, this fairly long book, and start drilling their parents about the story of Paul. Hey, did this happen? Oh, this didn't really happen. And the parents are forced to actually go back and start reading the book of Acts, because Acts is somewhat daunting at times. It's like a pretty long travel narrative, and this book takes it into another level of like visualization and really makes it something that's memorable for kids. So it's been a huge blessing to hear the response from parents and from kids, to see how much they love the book and how they're actually learning.
Mario, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to dig into more things that you're doing in San Diego, the way that you've been able to partner with other youth organizations just to make this book come alive to more of the youth that need to see this. What an amazing story. Paul is an amazing story, but what a way to really, again, just like Jesus, flip things over and say, hey, maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's a way that the stories can be told a little bit differently. This is Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com. Stay tuned. We're going to continue this conversation.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. This is Rise Up Radio. We're having a conversation with Mario D'Amato. He is a storyteller, a poet, an urban farmer, and most importantly, a follower of Jesus. He's a co-creator and publisher of an award-winning educational book, Paul the Apostle, a graphic novel. I've read the book. I've read the book of Acts, too. It tells the story very well. And this is not cheesy graphics. These are very well done. Kids love this. My 2-year-old wants to dig into this book every single night. It's one of the books that is on the bookshelf that he can pick. It's, do you want to read about bunny rabbits or Paul? And he's picking Paul because of the imagery and the things that are done in this book. Mario, a man of many, many talents. We dug into your story a little bit in the first segment of who you are and how your life has been transformed, and then going back to school and being in the storytelling business, which I think is an amazing, amazing place to be. You get to tell stories for a living through graphic novels, through other avenues. But you're also a poet.
Yes, sir.
I would love to hear one of your poems. because I think it's a way to express yourself that's differently and creative. It's what we're meant to do in creativity. So let it rip.
Yeah, just to give a little context, San Diego is a hub of some of the best spoken word artists in the entire country. Spoken word is this kind of underground poetry scene that I've been fortunate enough to get involved in. So I do this. This is not your traditional poem. It's not rhyming. It's not Shakespeare. It's like a mix of hip hop and storytelling. And I do this poem in front of hundreds and hundreds of people in San Diego and across Southern California. So, yeah, this is kind of my testimony in a 3-minute poem.
I'm excited. Let's go.
There once was a roly-poly that crossed paths with a magnificent caterpillar. Being a stubborn roly-poly, he clung to the earth and would not move. The caterpillar, unaware or unconcerned, walked over the roly-poly's little body, dragging his legs through the roly's eyes. The roly thought to himself, in 2 weeks, this caterpillar is going to turn into a beautiful butterfly while I'm stuck, a stinking roly-poly for the rest of my life. The roly-poly went home and began to wonder why he couldn't transform into something beautiful, why he couldn't grow wings and fly. I'm not good enough, he said to himself, but decided there must be wings somewhere inside himself, so he started pulling off limbs. No wings under there, he thought. He pulled off another limb and another after that. No wings there either. Finally, he started ripping at his outer shell. I'm not good enough. He ripped and tore bit by bit until all his insides were showing. A bird swooped down from the sky and ate him. At least now I can fly, thought the roly-poly. In 2004, I broke my neck diving into a shallow swimming pool. I still remember the bottom. All brittle and bone pile. These wheels are 12 years too heavy. I often feel like that roly-poly. Hopeless, looking for wings, looking to be someone that I'm not. I can't help but wonder what life would be like if I hadn't been so stupid. It is easy to feel consumed by hopelessness when all we focus on is the could-have-beens or worse yet, the should-have-beens. And so for too long, I convinced myself scrap metal. Convinced myself rolling junkyard, convinced myself these wheels and these crippled hands aren't good enough, and I almost hated myself invisible. But in our deepest suffering, I truly believe, nah, I'm absolutely convinced that God will always provide a way out. We are so much stronger than we can even imagine, and we always need to be celebrating our beautiful, magnificent, roly-poly shells, no matter how badly we want to tear them to shreds. I know it's not easy. Depression, it lurks beneath our fingernails and feasts on those moments where you'd rather be anyone but yourself. So nowadays, I carve the words good enough into all of my mirrors to remind me. I tattooed the words good enough onto my wrist to remind me. I yell good enough into the mouths of all those self-doubting shadows to remind me I am good enough. Actually, in the eyes of God, I'm perfect. And I never needed wings to fly in the first place.
Mic drop. I think the mics just fell off the stands in here. Mario, that was absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
That is your story. I think we've all been inspired by that, the expression of art. And again, I know that your passion project is storytelling. And what better way than a unique poetry platform like spoken word?
Oh, yeah. It's been a huge blessing for me and has really pushed me to get out of my comfort zone and get onto a stage and be really vulnerable and tell stories that, and what's interesting about spoken word is you often only have about 3 minutes on stage. So you have to cram a story into 3 minutes, and that's pushed my storytelling skills. And being around all these amazing poets in San Diego, we have some of the best poets in the entire world in San Diego. One guy's named Rudy Francisco. He's kind of the leader of San Diego. There's so many amazing poets in San Diego, and I'm brushing shoulders with these guys and girls, women every single week. So it's really, that's just been a side of my life that's been a huge blessing that I know I wouldn't have fell into without being in a wheelchair. I was no way I was going to be doing poetry.
All right. We need one more. Leave us on one more story or one more spoken word. Pick one. We'll make it fit in.
You want me to do another poem?
Yep, do one.
So gardening is, we said I'm an urban farmer. I love to grow food. It's another way that I participate in creation and tell stories in my backyard. So this poem is me trying to inspire people to get pumped on growing food. Yo, Rise Up Radio, I like to garden. Not in some metaphorical, allegorical, theoretical, or sentimental way. Nah, I grab seed. Unique seed with a genetic makeup that only this particular seed possesses, producing one specific type of plant and one specific type of food I like to garden. Because I'd argue that our original purpose as humans was to touch the earth. Like mother touches child and raise crops from the dirt miraculous when you were a kid. Do you remember playing in the dirt? It felt amazing, right? Like you were home. And the buildings and the cars and the machines, those were the foreign ones, and we were made from the dirt. So it only makes sense that the way we survive is by eating food that comes from what I like to garden. Planting seed in my spare time. Covering them in soil with my own hands. Talking to them because they're already alive, begging to be glorious. I'll pray for your birth, little seed. I pray you grow strong, little seed, and God will be your father, and I will be your steward, and I will protect you. When the insect king comes for your blood, when sister wind blows you down, when pestilence and plague seek revenge on your glory, you will be victorious, and I like to garden. And the other day, my girlfriend came outside and was like, "What are you doing out here?" I'm gardening. Aw, that is so cute. Cute. Yo, teddy bears are cute. Puppy dogs are pretty cute. This is revolutionary. Go ahead. Call me a flower peddler, a horticulturalist. Call me a wannabe green thumb or a hobbyist. I'm telling you, I'm a first lieutenant in the urban agricultural farming revolution. Been in the trenches 5 years strong. Got my stripes with tomato plants and have worked my way up the ranks. I grow peppers, onions, garlic, spinach, chard, collards. I grow eggplant, carrots, beets, broccoli, cauliflower. I even grow Brussels sprouts because Brussels sprouts make you strong, and I like to garden. And every day I'm at war with the underground rodent snipers, with snail armies, with disease and weather and weeds. I fight birds and rabbits and bears. Did you know a raccoon is part bear? Yo, I fight bears, and I like to garden. And all of my children are organic. I fertilize these miracles with recycled worm poop. Because they love recycled worm poop, and there is nothing miraculous about Miracle-Gro. I like to grow organic food because honestly, we were born into this. Growing food is not rocket science. Grab a pot, some soil, some seed, put it in the sun and watch the miracle grow before your eyes. I'm pleading with you. We were designed as humans to grow our own food. So grow a plant, be a revolutionary. You won't regret it.
If you enjoyed that, you'll enjoy more stories with Mario. You can visit his website, BearTruthCollective.com. And most importantly, I know that's your art. You are a storyteller, but you're telling a very unique story with Paul the Apostle.
Thank you.
You are helping kids understand the story of Jesus, helping kids understand the story that their lives are also an amazing and unique story.
Definitely. That was the whole point, to get kids interested in the Bible and to point kids toward Jesus in a unique way. We're living in a time where everything is violence and sex and drugs, and like, it's culture is a scary place for a kid to be growing up in right now. It was when I was growing up, and I'm in the 80s. And, so this was trying to create an edifying entertainment, but also something that is a ministry tool in a way that maybe they won't even know it's ministering to them at first, and might even trick some secular kids into looking at the Bible. So
thank you, Mario. It was a pleasure having you on the show. I hope that you're inspired this weekend. visit his website, BearTruthCollective.com. We'll have information on our website as well, SDRiseUp.com. And I encourage you, this is our city. This is America's finest city. It's our job to maintain it. Rise up.